You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does.
Hallelujah. Well, if we're excited, we have a song minstrel in the house that is going to sing for us before the word of God comes. Amen. So I would like you to put your hands together as we welcome our sister Victoria. Oh, 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 oh,
for the rest of my days. Oh, 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 oh.
Wow, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Wow, what a blessing, amen. Are you excited for what is coming next? We are at the most important part of the service this morning, amen. So if your neighbor is not on, your friend, your child, your family member, every neighbor, every calling, this is your last chance, amen, before the word of God comes. And if you are not on video, I want to encourage you to please come on video as the word of God is coming. I want to read for you a scripture in Isaiah 30 verse 20. Bible says that, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher. Amen. This morning, your eyes is going to behold your teacher. Even in this corona season, our teacher has not been removed into a corner. Amen. He has been with us. He has been preaching to us. He has been speaking into our lives. He has been prophesying to us. And this morning, if you're excited, if you are happy as I am, rise to your feet wherever you are, and with Jesus' joy, with a shout of praise, with thanksgiving in your heart, let us welcome our teacher, our prophet, our father, our daddy, our very own person, the Reverend Hojo Orleans Lindsay.
Shall we close our eyes in prayer? Heavenly Father, we believe in your existence, and we believe that he that comes to you must believe that you are, indeed are, you are the I am God, and that you reward everyone that diligently seeks you. Therefore have we come, knowing that we've not come to image made with hands, but we've come to the creator of the universe, the one who caused us to exist. Thank you, Elohim. Thank you. You are the self-existent one. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. This morning we pray for forgiveness. We pray for the cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask that your might will come upon everything that we do here, that you will be preeminent. You will be the ultimate goal of every decision, every talk, every thought, every action. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to see you. It's such a blessing to come your way again. You know, anytime that the Lord decides to use you for anything, it is a blessing. And I like what Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. He said that, as for me, I will not sin against God by ceasing to pray for you, but rather I will teach you the good and the right way. I will teach you the good and the right way. All right. So one of the things that you should expect from your pastor is prayers for you. Prayers for you, not cease to pray for you. And I thank God that he always puts you on my heart to pray for you. Everyone who is a member, be ye assured that the pastors, we pray twice for you, mentioning you by name. And then the next thing is that to teach you the good and the right way. Because I do that because if I don't do that, I'm sinning against God, the one who brought you in the first place. Because the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, that God is the one. If the Lord does not draw, the Father does not draw you, you cannot come to me. That was Jesus Christ saying it. And I want to say that I'm so excited that you have come. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. That was Jesus. So in the same way, once I stand here representing Jesus, the Lord is the one who's going to draw you. And today I want you to be aware that it's God who brought you here, not your own self. Although you got up and you decided to come here, that decision was God's move in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I pray that you will consider your home not as just a four-walled place, but as that the presence of God is there. You see that? The presence of God is there. The presence of God is there. Amen. Where two or three gather in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Okay? So sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And I want to ask you that whatever you're doing, for this 1 hour or so that is left of this service, I want you to do something. Sit up like you're in church. Sit up in faith like God is watching you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. And I want you to know that the Lord is watching your attitude, watching your posture. Treat him better than you would treat your boss. If your boss was coming to speak, how would you have arranged yourself? Some of you need to intentionally on Sunday morning, Zoom or social distances or not, God is there. And I want you to treat God with all the respect. Reverence him. Reverence him. Bible says reverence the Lord because he's the Lord. Okay? So I want you to treat God. Bible says that let all be silent if the Lord is in his holy temple. And so I want everybody to just change your attitude and take a notebook, take a pen, take your Bible or your device that you are writing upon and be in the presence of God with all reverence. You see? Now, you will realize that in John chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was going to do the miracle, he did something that was fantastic. He said, let the men all sit down. And it's those who sit down who will actually get the miracle. So everybody was at grain. Sit down. What he was saying was, have patience. The Lord is doing something wonderful. So don't be in a rush, but settle down. Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. So whatever it is that you're doing, stop doing it. Pause. Pay attention to the Lord. Give the Lord the most important attention that you can give in this hour. You have paid attention to several things in the course of the week. Bible says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Holy means keep it special. So this morning's service is special. And God's attention from you must be done in a special way. And every Sunday, that must be what you need to do. Come and treat the service as special. Don't let corona make you change your attitude towards God. You see, one time I met a certain rich man who was in hospital. I was taking care of him. And the wife was trying to change the relationship. She said, look, you let them take care. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something different. The man opened his mouth and said, hey, wife, are you going to make coming to America to this hospital change the way we live? And the woman said, what about it? I said, well, if it sits with you, then carry on. That was a loaded statement. The woman definitely changed her attitude. that man was about to die. And I say to the glory of God, he left everything that he had for that woman to control. That last minute attitude change could have cost her everything. Don't change your attitude because of Corona. Corona will go away. But as for the Lord, he abided forever. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to share with you something that is very important as a conclusion to our month of faith. I know that this is the next month. We're going to add something else. But I want to just take a detour and talk to you about angels, about the ministry of angels in prayer. Why angels will surround you when you pray. Why angels will surround you when you pray. And I say the ministry of angels in prayer because angels are ministers. Now, the word ministers don't mean we have meant, oh, that's a minister of God, that's a minister. Oh, you know, those are servants. When you say ministers of state, the ministers of government, they are servants. Often we serve them. And therefore, our mind about ministers has been warped. We see ministers of government who sit in the biggest of cars, who sit in the highest of places, who do the biggest of things, and we rather serve them. And that is not the case with angels. Ministers are servants. Of course, servants are honored. Okay. Now, in the church, when you see me as a minister, I am the chief servant. I am a servant. I serve you. That's why you are sitting down and I'm standing. Yes, because I'm the servant here. So you sit down, I stand, and I serve you. And I want to continue to serve you that way in Jesus' name. Amen. That is why sometimes you are sleeping and I'm praying for you because I'm the servant. That is why sometimes you are asleep and I'm calling you and waking you up as if I am the your alarm clock. Hey, wake up. It's flow time. It's flow prayer time. It's service time. You know, that is why you make your mistake and suddenly I sometimes take the blame. It's like, Pastor, didn't you pray? It's like, Pastor, this and that. Now, the same way, I want you to learn by this. You and I know that we have served in Lighthouse. We serve as pastors. We serve. We're servants and ministers. Today, I want you to have a new mindset about angels. Okay? Mindset about angels. And don't treat yourself in a way that will, you know, when you do not know what you have, you lose it. You lose it. Or you lose the impact of it. I want to tell you a story. There was a certain guy who paid for a cruise ship. He's never gone to a cruise before. He saved diligently, worked so hard for years, and finally got his money. And he took a big vacation and went on a cruise to Cancun and back. And this guy, in all his life, he had been so poor, but he got this new job and saved for a long time and paid for it. Once he went on the cruise ship, he said, wow, this ship is like a big hotel. Everything is inside. There was a movie theater. There were restaurants, buffet. Everybody was eating at any time. There were drinks, bar, cocktail, everything. He looked and said, wow, when I grow up and I get promotion and I get more money, next time when I come back on this cruise, I will be able to purchase and participate in everything. He was planning his honeymoon. He was thinking when he gets money, saves more, and he marries his wife, he brings the wife, and that time he'll have money to purchase from the restaurant, go for the movie theater thing, play the tennis that they have, do everything that was there. The ship was loaded, fully loaded, like some of the new cars that have come. So the guy who felt he didn't have money just had some biscuits and a gallon of drinks. And so throughout the cruise, which took a couple of weeks, this guy chewed on the biscuits and then drank on the drinks. He loaded them big time. He even had constipation. You know, because of that kind of way of doing it. And he would drink water. He even took it to another level as if it was a spiritual trip and sometimes would fast. until the last day, the captain of the ship had noticed this guy pacing up and down, sometimes hiding, and decided it was just a day, a couple of hours for them to reach Cancun shore. And he said, "My brother, I've seen you. You never join us for food, for the games, for the tennis. You never join us for the movies. You don't do anything. Why? Why? Is there anything we did wrong? Are you allergic? Are you allergic to the food? Is there a problem?" And then the guy said, "Oh, it's nothing." He said, "Oh, no, I'm here. I've been sent to help you." Then he forced the guy, and the guy said, "Sorry, I didn't have money. So, please don't tell whoever asked you, but I didn't have money. I just had enough money to buy the ship for the cruise, and when I get there, to take a taxi to go around and things. So I'm okay. Next time I'm coming, I'll buy some of the things and partake of some of these. I'll be able to pay the ticket to the theater and all that." And the captain looked at him in shock. He said, "Look, we've been on this cruise for several days. Your ticket that you purchased was purchased for everything on this cruise ship, for the movies, for the food, for the buffet, for the drinks, for free. You've already paid for it." Now the guy went about mopping up everything. How much could he fill his stomach? His stomach has even shrunk out of fasting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens to those who don't have knowledge. For lack of knowledge, my people perish. So today, I just want to bring your awareness to the ministry of angels in prayer. First of all, what are angels? Now, God, when he's working on this earth, God is in heaven. When he had to operate on this earth to bring salvation, he brought Jesus Christ. He sent him as the only begotten son to come and preach. Obviously, God, the last time he tried to interact with the Israelites, they couldn't. Thunderings and lightning. So he doesn't interact directly. He has emissaries or intermediaries, that do it. Actually, the word angel means messenger. So God has two types of emissaries or intermediaries: the Holy Spirit and then angels. That are the workhorses, the work forces on this earth. When God wanted to create the heaven and earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to go on the face of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." Okay? And God, the Spirit of the Lord, was hovering over the face of the waters. That was his job, not God, Spirit. Now, and then there's the angels. They're the angels that he sends to do things. Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between these effectors is the Holy Spirit is the one part of the Godhead. So he's actually an executive in the Godhead. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they make decisions, they discuss things. So he's an executive part of God's work hand. So he comes as a representative of God. That's why we call God the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit helps us, talks to us, teaches us the way God would teach us. Bible says the Spirit helps our infirmities. So the Holy Spirit is called the helper. He helps God in his work. So anybody who's a Christian who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, you miss a great aspect of God, because that's God's helper. So he helps God, interacts with God. When he comes, he's God who has appeared. Now, this role is a little different from the angels. Angels come as messengers and servants. The Holy Spirit is not a messenger. It's God's representative. It's God's hand. It's part of the Godhead. But the angels, they are less than God. They are not equal to God. They are messengers of God. Actually, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, Bible says God talks about the fact that, hey, it's not by might, he said to Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So God operates by his spirit through the host of angels, not by might. It's not your might that will do it. It's not your power, but God himself will do it by his spirit. So Amen. God does things by his Holy Spirit, Amen. But he is the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, hosts of angels. So God operates by his spirit, gives instructions, and supervises by his Holy Spirit on this earth. But the effectors or servants, who effect them are the angels, the Lord of hosts. These are the two areas. When things are supernatural, not by might, not by your power, the people that operate are the Spirit of God and the angels or hosts of God. The Spirit of God does what God himself will do. The angels are sent to do what God wants done. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are angels. If you don't believe in angels or you don't have the ministry of angels, you are short-ended. Hebrews chapter 11, in fact, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, also states what angels are. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and I want to read from the New Living Translation. Therefore, angels are only servants. And in the word, only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. If you have, you have been saved, you are born again, give me a wave, you've inherited salvation. Well, you are the one that God is talking about here. He said angels are only servants. Servants. We don't worship angels. We don't serve angels. Angels serve us. They are servants. And their job is to care for the needs of those who will inherit salvation.
Amen.
Angels. I have called on angels many times. I'm telling you, I have spoken to angels many times. Angels are servants, people who are standing by. They are almost like if you see in the, what's it called? When you go to a restaurant, they are waiters and waitresses. That's what angels do. They are there at the beck and call of the heirs of salvation. That is why Jesus Christ, when he was in the garden, he prayed, and when the people attacked him, he said, don't you know that I can actually call on the host of angels to actually deal with you?
Yeah.
I have called on angels to deal with people who were troubling me before, and they did not, it was not easy for them. Yeah. In fact, in the book of Kings, Elijah called on angels when the Assyrians came. Angels came and struck all of them blind. He commanded that the angels would strike them. He actually told his servant that, look, those that are with us are more than those who are against us. Mm-hmm. And he commanded the angels to strike all the Assyrian armies blind. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about powerful something. And Elisha prayed. This is a scripture I'm talking about. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked, he saw the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Wow. Of course, that is representing angels. And they struck, you know. Now, and then he says, those that be against with us, he told them. And, you know, and the Armenian army advanced. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. He did it. That's a prayer. Look at this carefully. That's a prayer. And Elisha prayed. Bring that scripture again. Bring that scripture again. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Then the Lord opened the young man's eyes. Then the next thing, and he saw the angels around the side. Then the next verse, please. The next verse. And then, as the Armenian army advanced, Armenian, also the Assyrian, toward him, Elisha also prayed again, oh Lord, please make them blind.
Man.
So the Lord struck them with blindness. Ladies and gentlemen, what did the Lord do? How did the Lord do it? He did it actually by means of the angels.
Yes.
This is a prayer. This is what happens when you pray.
Amen.
When you pray, the ministering spirits operate. When you pray, a prayer can also be defined as a command for angels to operate on behalf of the children of God. Let me explain it to you. When you go to a rich man's house, real rich men, especially the Jews, they are called Abba. Their moms are called Ima. Now, when you go, there are house helps and maid servants and man servants who serve the children. The children don't do anything. Listen, when I was a child, I went to one of my uncles. That my uncle was the chief executive officer, managing director, boss of a timber company. Now, it was so sweet. You remember, many times I've told you that I thought my parents were the worst parents because anytime I'm home, they make me work, they make me do all kinds of things. I mean, why? Then I went on vacation to this man's house. When I went on vacation, my cousins, they don't do anything. Oh, look, there are people who come and at their beck and call. They go and do our groceries for us. They set up the table tennis for us to play. When we need something, we just say, hey, we need this. They drive out to go and buy us. We want ice cream. They drive us to go specifically for ice creams. Look, there were servants everywhere, the gardening, everything. That is how it is. And we live like royalty. I was like one of the adopted sons of that CEO. And boy, did I enjoy the luxury of angels or messengers. Angels are also called messengers. I had messengers at my beck and call. I want water, they'll bring me water. I want to eat, I tell them, look, today I'm not going to eat at 2, I'll eat earlier, so prepare the food earlier and it will be done. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how angels are to a true Christian of faith. And although I have to call the servants, your call to the servanthood is actually the call called prayer. Prayer is actually a command to the servants that God has given you. You are royalty. The Bible says we are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation, a royal priesthood. Yes. We belong to a kingdom, and our Father is the King, and there are subjects and servants who are called angels. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Wow.
I tell you, angels, according to the scripture, Hebrews 1:14, are they not only servants? God is saying that, look, try and think like royalty. Try and think like a king's child. King's kids, try and operate. Spirit sent. Now, what I found out was that many times I needed many, because I came from my, you know, Armenian home. When I came, I was not used to calling for things. I was not used to speaking the Father's commands. And I didn't know that when I come, they will recognize me. The servants will also recognize me as a man of authority, although I was a child. So I always used to beg, and it didn't work. My cousins told me, what is it that you're doing? Speak confidently. Many Christians are like that. I don't know whether you call it humility or you call it foolishness. But many Christians, when it comes to prayer, even their attitude will not command the angels. The act of faith does not exist. There is no faith. There's no confidence. Most Christians who don't pray is because they lack that faith. They lack that authority, or they lack that knowledge. Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. Oh. Yeah. And this guy who was on the ship, what he lacked was knowledge. Today, I present you knowledge of who you are, of your powerful existence, of royalty. Anybody who is who receives salvation, God has made you an heir with Christ. Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If Jesus prayed and said, I can pray the angels and command them to come, why is it that you don't do that? Ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell you that the ministry of angels is the ministry of power through prayer. And a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. It's like somebody who is a king's child, but you are living like a servant yourself. You are living in poverty. You are living in impoverished. You are living an authority-free life. Yeah. When Jesus Christ came, he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, you are, first of all, he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And everybody said, some say you are the prophet, some say you are this, some say you are John the Baptist. And he told Peter specifically, who do you guys say that I am? Yeah. Then Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did that mean? That means that from today you are saved. After all, what is salvation? Is the person who accept Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter, Jesus Christ said, first of all, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to give you some power for angels. I'm going to release a key, authority power to you. But first of all, you must identify with what qualifies people to have that power. And that qualification was the qualification of salvation. Peter didn't know that. So Jesus asked, people are saved, but not what people say. What do you say? Many people will live our Christian lives based on what your pastor thinks, based on what other Christians think. But what do you think? Oh. And then Simon Peter gave the most phenomenal answer. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then what followed is what I'm talking to you about your life, about the ministry of angels. What qualifies you for the ministry of angels, for angels to serve you throughout? Look, angels serve me. I can't lie to you. Angels serve me. I won't lie to you. Angels serve me all the time. I will not lie to you. If it was not true, I wouldn't tell you. Why do you think when you need something, you come and ask me to pray for you? Because you don't command angels, but I do. But today I'm bringing you to the level of commanding angels. Jesus says we are heirs with him. So he asked John the Baptist, who do you say? And he said, thou art the Christ. He asked Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then look at what followed in verse 17. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, anybody under the sound of my voice. From today, you are going to be a man of prayer, a man of angels, a man who comes to the flow prayer meeting in your own right to join other people commanding angels.
Amen.
Because you don't know this, you have even slept when we are praying. You have just left. It's like a person who you are supposed to be eating and playing tennis and enjoying the movie, and you are sleeping and eating biscuits when a lot of buffet is set up for you. Peter was told that Jesus Christ told him this thing that you have said. You have acknowledged Jesus as your personal Savior. You have acknowledged that he's the Son of God, the Christ. Listen to what's going to happen to you. Next, he says that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus answered, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah. By name, everyone, God is mentioning your name. Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah. Blessed art thou, Patricia. Blessed art thou, Juliet. Blessed art thou, Larry. Blessed art thou, Vincent. Whatever your name, Simon, but Simon, we don't know the middle name. Jesus knew the detailed name. Blessed art thou, Kojolinse, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. It is only God, but my Father which is in heaven. If God has revealed to you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you believe it, flesh and blood did not do it. It's not Pastor Lindsay who did it. It's the Father which is in heaven who brought this revelation to bring salvation, to qualify you for angels to minister to you. I'm telling you, it's setting you up for the ministry of angels, because angels are servants to those who inherit salvation.
Wow.
And then the next verse, he said, because of that, your name is changed. Verse 18. And I say also, in addition to what I've said, that you are blessed. You are blessed. I say also to thee that thou art Peter. From today, I've changed your name of Simon bar Jonah to Peter. You've been christened. You have been assigned a new royal name. Royal name. My name, when you get to heaven, you realize that God has a nickname for me, a royal name for me. So does he have for you. Anybody who's born again, you are a Christian, and a name has been assigned in heaven. From now, you'll be called Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because angels will fight for you. And I like the verse 19. And I will give you, watch this, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you access to the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the key that opens heaven for supernatural great things to happen.
Amen.
Yes. I will give you the keys. Many people don't know that they have keys to heaven. And what the keys do? Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not take anything for granted. Even the littlest things, if there's a word like that, I command angels through prayer to operate it. To operate it. I have access to things that only angels have made available. Access to favor from my bosses that only angels have made available, because I've committed it by the command and the decree of the Father who gave me the keys. Because I've come there in confidence and boldness with the knowledge that I hold the key. I hold access, keys to the kingdom where God is king of heaven. And whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What is the relationship between the earth and the heaven? The angels. What is the connection between the earth and the heaven? The angels. The Bible says in Exodus and Genesis chapter 28 from verse 20 going, you see that when Jacob was lost, he went to a place and he fell down. You know, you can even read from a little earlier. He slept, and Bible says that he dreamt, and when he dreamt, as he was there, he was looking for a place, and God showed him heaven. He said he dreamed, behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels of God ascended and descended on it. I'm telling you, these messengers, they are the connection between God and us. At that time, God, through the prayers of Isaac, was making Jacob Israel. And he was representing us. This was the first show of believers. The first show, somebody that God adopts as his children. The first description of the church, as you will see. And then he said they were ascending and descending. Are you? Let me read, please. On it. Angels, look at what they were doing. And then verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord your God, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, I will give it to you and to thy seed. Keep going. I'm telling you, the first description of the church was right here in Genesis, the beginnings. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth and all that. The foul family shall be blessed. Verse 15, please. And behold, I am with you. Now watch it. And I'll keep thee in the places where you go. And I'll bring you again to this land. And I'll not leave you until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. Then verse 16. Watch this carefully. This is going to be your prayer mode. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Do you know what that means? He was lacking in faith. But now faith has arisen. God was showing him what he lacked that he was about to show him if he believed. When he got up, the first thing he says is, surely I was the problem. I was the one who didn't know it. Today, if you can tell yourself, I'm the one who was the problem. I didn't know angels were available. I didn't know prayer was that important. I didn't know prayer had that power. I didn't know about the ministry of angels to me. I was the problem. May you awake. May you come out of your sleep now. When we are doing flow prayer, may you awake and awareness will come. Many of you, when we are doing flow prayer, you are asleep.
Messy.
Because you don't understand what you are missing. You are in this, your earthly little life of might and power, which doesn't bring anything. When host of angels are waiting for you to command them.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that is why we wake you up at the flow prayer meeting. That is why we say join the watch party. That is why we say come along and let's exercise the authority and the key that God has given to us. That is why we come together so that you, in case you don't know how powerful, you see the ministry of angels. As we are speaking, we look crazy because people will wonder, is this real? Anybody who wonders, is this real? It's because they have not understood and they cannot. Yeah, they cannot. Bible says spiritual things are weak, foolishness to the carnal mind. Yeah, okay. So, to the natural, they are foolishness. Neither can they be discerned because they are foolishness to them. You see, now go on to what happened. So he woke up, he understood, he said it, and Jacob awoke and said, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Then he said something. This is no other than the house of God. The house of God called Bethel. And this is a gate of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. And Jacob arose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, set it up as a pillar, poured oil upon the top of it. Hallelujah. And then verse 19. And you know what he did? He called the name of that place Bethel.
Yeah.
But the name of the city before was Luz at the first. Whatever it is that your room may be called, begin to call it the house of God. As you are there, when we are doing the flow prayer meeting, don't sleep. Arise and shine and come along. I say, Bethel is what it is. Where I am standing, if I believe, that place can be called the house of God. Your room can be called the house of God. Put the stone, the rock, the stone, same stone that Jesus Christ told Peter. You are now called Peter, the stone. You are Simon by Jonah, but your name shall be called stone. Jacob, same thing. I erected a stone. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Jacob also built, put the thing there, and he said, from here, this will be your house of the Lord. Stone, 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 stone. And it was all the communication following that was angelic ministration through prayer. Amen. Agreement of what happens during prayer. Jesus was telling Peter about prayer. God was telling Jacob about prayer and about the house of God, building the house of God and changing them. The stone was there. He poured oil. Make prayer spiritual.
Amen.
Make prayer spiritual. Pour oil on your prayerless life. Pour oil on your new name. Let the anointing come. And let's all understand that it's a key of authority. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Because angels, they ascend and they descend.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that that's very important. And that's what happened. He called the place Bethel. From that day, he didn't call it, oh, those people. Flow prayer meeting that we do Monday nights at 10:30 or 11, and Thursday nights at 10:30, 11, all the way till the morning. Many of you are asleep. You are just like Jacob. May you arise and shine. Awake all sleeper.
Amen.
Yeah. When Jonah was asleep, they said, how come you are sleeping? Why sleepest thou? Awake, cry to your Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, from today, I just want you to have a new understanding of picture what is happening when you are praying. Picture the angels. God showed it to Jacob in a dream. God is revealing to you. The first day he called the church together with a stone, he described the thing that happens. He said, this is no other place than the house of God. And it is a gate of heaven. And angels were moving up and down. I tell you, I don't take that for granted. I literally apply it to my life in every aspect. Yeah. When I was marrying, I prayed about it. When I was going to go work, I pray about my child. That's why I pray to God concerning you by name. That angels will affect you on an individual basis. And it will come to pass. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Because I know the ministry of angels is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, so that's what I want to share with you. Let's look at some applications of this ministry of angels in prayer. Let's look at some of the applications. Why don't you go to Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3. I've read it to you before, but I'm going to read it again. Then another angel with gold came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers. Look at that. Of all the saints, angels are carrying incense with your prayers, mixing it with incense and presenting it to God. Prayers of the saints upon golden altar. Altar is the place we meet God. You see, Jacob put the altar there, a stone as an altar, put oil on it, which was before the throne of God. That is what prayer happens. When you pray, the prayer comes, angels are commanded to come. They collect your prayers, they mix it with incense, and look at what happens after that. Verse 4. Wow. Wow. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints. The saints are the people who are inheritors of salvation. They are ascended up before God out of the angels' hand. Ah, I see God deploying angels to serve you from today.
Hey,
I see you commanding the angels for real. You look like crazy, but you should live a supernatural life.
Amen.
Amen. And therefore, that's very important. And then I see the green light being given to you for angels to send your prayers to God. I see God giving you a green light from today as you set up and as you start praying, believing that angels are ministering and carrying them. Literally do that. You know, one time I was praying and one of my sisters who had come to visit us on vacation, when we finished praying, he told me, he said, brother, I said, what's up? So when you are praying, you really make it sound like God is right here. And I said, but what are you expecting? You see, that's the mindset of many people. When they are praying, even that question, you ask, he's a believer. Say, the way you pray as if God is standing right here with you. I say, yes, the angels are here. They're carrying the thing. Hey, what else should I do? Ladies and gentlemen, the applications of this is number one. Number one, look at this. Angels appeared when the whole multitude of people prayed in Luke chapter 1. Angels appeared. Should I prove it to you? Luke chapter 1 from verse 8 to verse 11. Luke chapter 1. Bible says, and it came to pass that while this was Zechariah. Maybe let's start from verse. Yeah. While he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Verse 9. According to the custom of the priest, his lot, that was Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Yeah. His lot was to burn incense like a pastor. You see, Bible has made us all priests and kings to burn incense of prayer. His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of God, of the Lord. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. Watch this. At the time of incense is another spiritual word for prayer, as we learned in Revelation 8. When incense is given, it means prayer is expected. God gave the angels incense on the gold, expecting them to mix the incense with the prayer so that it will go up. So incense in the Bible, everywhere you see it, sees as prayers that are supposed to go to God, that has been converted into spiritual. Some of the prayers are carnal, but spiritual prayers, they come up as an incense, like Cornelius's prayer. Okay. Now, he said, at the time of incense, the people prayed. You know, the question I want to ask you is that at the time of incense, like the flow prayer, when we are praying, are you sleeping? When the multitude of the people were praying, when the head pastor, Zechariah, was inside leading the prayer meeting and everybody was outside there, where have you been when we are doing the flow? Where have you been? At the time of prayer, when the multitude are burning incense, at the time of incense, when the head pastor, Zechariah, the head pastor of Israel at that time, the head pastor, Bishop Dag, is leading us in prayer twice a week, Monday night at 10:30, through the morning, Thursday night at 10:30, through the morning, where are you asleep? Look at the miracle that happened. And the angel of the Lord appeared in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord appeared. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of prayer, of the altar of incense, of the altar of prayer, of the altar of incense. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking to you about. When you are sleeping and we are praying, look, you are actually just dropping your guard.
Depriving yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, multitude are praying. Multitude are burning incense. They are not in the same place as a pastor, but the miracle is this. That is the blessing of prayer in a group. And that's the reason why I believe that this flow prayer meeting that we have is a miracle for you to awaken your authority in angelic command.
Amen.
And miraculous heavenly support.
Yes.
There are many things that you should not be struggling with at this stage. There are many things that angels are looking and say, oh, Mobo. You know Mobo, it's Aramaic, for those who don't understand. For pity. For you are pitiful. You are pitiful. Sometimes when I see Jesus Christ came and said, could you not wait just for 1 hour? He was just feeling pity for the people. At the point he said, sleep on. The flesh is weak. The spirit is wicked, willing, but the flesh is weak. From now, I would want all of us to arise and to shine in this time of incense as part of the multitude. Don't say that some are praying so you can sleep. Bible says all the multitude were praying.
All
not just a few, not just Zechariah alone. They were commanding, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside of the prayer center at the time of prayer, at the time of, you can call it the flow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I really want you to know that it is an important thing to do. It's an important thing to do. The other way that I'm going to show you, this is the multitude. The other thing that I'm going to show you is in Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. Cornelius. Cornelius was somebody that God had looked. Let me read Cornelius chapter 1. Acts chapter 10 verse 1. Look, I am intentional about this. Are you talking about the flow? Yes, I'm talking about the flow. Yes, I'm talking about your prayer life. Yes, I'm talking about you joining the multitude that are praying and burning incense so that an angel will visit you. Now, this man, Cornelius, led his whole household to prayer. Look at what happened. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 2. A devout man, just like you. A man who feared God, just like you, with his whole household, like a pastor who brings his whole church to the prayer time. Yeah. Like a pastor, a nice pastor like me, a devout pastor like me, that I'm trying to rally my church members. And some of you, in case the devil is filling your mind to say, oh, we're tired of this, we know how to pray, you don't have to tell us anything. You have not understood that that is what God likes. That is what attracts God. Look at this Cornelius guy. And if you are a father in the house and you are watching me, you are a mother in the house and you're watching me, you are supposed to be like Cornelius. You're supposed to rally every one of your household to a time of prayer when flow is going on. And even beyond flow, you should gather your family, your whole household, to pray to God. He said, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. And prayed to God always. Prayed to God with all his household. Now, verse 3, look at this. What happened? He saw in a vision, evidently, for sure, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who exercises this power of prayer, God has been attracted and your name enters. He knows my name. Prayerful people are known by God. Bible says, God knows them that are his. God knows them that are his. And he says, Cornelius, an angel is now speaking. Listen to what happened. Said an angel, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. God's angel has come and is telling the one who carries, who's giving the golden censer with the incense, the ones who carry prayer are telling Cornelius that you didn't know what you were doing. Anytime you prayed, we were called to attention with our altar, with our censer, the incense. We had no choice but to carry it. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up, have arisen for a memorial. I mean, God will never forget before God. God never forgets your prayers. God never forgets your prayers. They are sent to him. And he said something. There's the next verse. He said, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Next verse, verse 6. He lodges with one Simon the Tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you need to do. Listen, God gives ideas when you pray. God gives direction when you pray. God touches people's hearts for you when you pray. God influences the land for you when you pray. Because angels have been sent to effect powerful things as you activate the key. Today, all I wanted you to know is that there's something called the ministry of angels. And angels, their primary role is God sends them based on your prayer requests. They have the golden incense. They carry the prayer with the incense to God. And when they go, God gives them directions. You remember the angels, they move up and down. They bring down the answers to influence people's lives. In Revelation chapter 8, if you read the verse 5, they said that now they spill the mixture of prayers onto the land. And the angels actually, in fact, says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it on the earth. And there were voices and thunderings, lightness and earthquake. That's what happens. God influences voices. God shakes things out for you to actually enjoy the power of what you have requested. I've seen people change in my workplace. I've seen lives transform. I've seen my children change. I've seen church members transform. I've seen problems resolved. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen what people who were thought to be dead, they came alive. I've seen my church members who were declared by multiple doctors, you will never have a child. They haven't children. I've seen my church members who were declared, there's a curse in your house and it will never happen. I've seen them transform. I've seen them transform. What has happened is I have committed them to God, and angels have arisen. A man of prayer can also be equated to a man full of angelic hosts, full of servants, full of people who are waiting on you, waiters and waitresses. They are asking you, what will you eat when you go to the restaurant? Please, how may I help you? What would you like? Would you like, you say meat, you steak. He said, well done, medium or rare. And then they have to make it according to your dictates. That's who angels are. But they never work until your requests have been made known. Waiters and waitresses are useless without you telling them what you want. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the way. And if there's anybody here, no matter how royal you are, who is not praying, you're missed out. And may you be a man of prayer so that you be a man of power, because you're a man of angels. As I speak, angels are here. Many people have seen angels around me. Not only me, many people have seen angels around people of prayer. You will be the next man of prayer. You'll be the next woman of prayer. You'll be the next child of prayer. I command that the Lord will make you a man of prayer. From today, when the multitude come together in the flow prayer, I'm watching you tomorrow. I'm going to assign people that will call you. Your shepherds will call you. Your Wacenta leaders will call you. I will call the Wacenta leaders. The pastors will call the Wacenta leaders and special forces, telling them it's time for angelic activity. When they call you, don't turn it off. Don't just outsmart them by telling them, texting them, I'm asleep. What do you mean? What do you mean? Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares. And then when the master woke up, they said, how did it happen? He said, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this because while I planted good seeds, but while men slept, the enemy, instead of angels, enemies came and planted tares. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or thorns among what was meant to be wheat, to be a blessing, and went his way. Many tares and thorns that bring prickly pains in our lives is because we love to sleep instead of pray. May this season of flow prayer awaken your authority, your key to the kingdom, and let your angels that have been assigned, they've been dormant for too long. Amen. Some of them have had to sleep because you are sleeping. Meanwhile, they've been paid. You know, recently, I was supposed to do some work, and then when I went, the people who were supposed to come for the work did not come. I was paid for just being there. I didn't even have to work. Some of your angels are being given kudos for being around you, but they are not doing any work for you because you have not made an appearance at the prayer altar. May that change in the name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together and rise to your feet and let's pray.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I feel the presence of God. I feel some angels are thanking me, saying that, thank you, Pastor, for all these children that God sent us to have made us dormant. I feel and I sense some angels are rejoicing because finally they will become relevant to royal people like you. Finally, their service to you will be activated through prayer. Finally, when multitudes are coming and angels are ministering to them, they can also do their job. Put your hand on your heart and tell your angels, I'm sorry. From now, you will be made active. I will give the command. I will do the prayer night and day. My sleep is cut short now. My alertness. That's why the Bible says that watch and pray. Watch and pray. What that means is that keep vigil. Keep awake and pray. Watch and pray. Stay awake and pray. Jesus told the disciples, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He said it 3 times, meaning 3 full hours minimum. Every Christian should come to the floor and should aim at minimum 3 hours and possibly more. Because Jesus Christ said, what? Could you not wait even just 3 hours? You couldn't handle it. That means he's expecting more. Father, I pray for the spirit of prayer. The spirit of Barnabas. Spirit of Barnabas.
Amen.
Yes, to come. Epaphras, the one who labors fervently in prayer, the Spirit comes upon you now.
Amen.
I pray that Flow Prayer Meeting will teach all of us how to interact with angels from today. That when we make the phone calls, may we be able to reach people who will activate their angels in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, please, please, very important. If you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are here and you do not know, have a relationship that gives you the boldness to command angels. God says that the angels are but servants to those who inherit salvation. Today you can inherit salvation. Today is your day that you can say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And straight away, God will call you from Bar-Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, to give you that stone of anointing as Peter. And I want everyone, if the rapture comes today, will you join? If the angels come, will they bypass you to say that you are not, you haven't inherited salvation yet? That is why they are not operating. From today, set it up so that when you pray, it can work. If you want to join the saints whose prayers are answered through salvation, then say this prayer with me. Say, Almighty Father,
Almighty Father,
I come to you just as I am.
I know that I'm a sinner.
Please forgive me
for all my sins.
And wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
Son of the Living God.
Just like Peter believed.
Just like Peter believed.
Therefore I am born again.
Therefore I am born again.
I know from now I am a child of God.
I know from now that I am a child of God.
Please write my name.
Please write my name.
In the book of life.
And fill me.
With your sweet Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I take my place. As a royal child of God.
I embrace my angels.
Through prayer power.
I will join the multitude of prayerful people
for my angels to start working for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.